A controversial new law in Massachusetts tries to combat sexual harassment in the workplace through tough new requirements on employers. Businesses must now adopt explicit policies explaining sexual harassment laws, and they must tell employees what to do if they feel they've been victimized. Many small businesses say the law is making victims of them by imposing extra costs and paperwork and by encouraging frivolous lawsuits. NPR's Tovia Smith reports from Boston.
Under the new law, employers are required to adopt policies that define sexual harassment, list examples of improper behavior, and spell out disciplinary action for offenders. It also encourages employers to set up sensitivity training on the subject and requires firms to post the name and number of the person who handles complaints, both at the company and outside at state and federal agencies. Michael Duffy is head of Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination.
Sometimes, despite an employer's best intentions, things go wrong. And sometimes the people at the very top of a company are the problem. And I'm sure that we will probably see in the next couple of months, as this law is implemented, we'll see complaints that come out of women becoming knowledgeable about this.
While there is no penalty for failing to comply, Duffy cautions businesses who do so may be sorry. In recent years, victims of sexual harassment have won enormous monetary damages, sometimes in the millions of dollars, for emotional distress. Now, if a business ignores the law, Duffy says that could be an important piece of evidence when assessing their liability.
It's analogous to safety regulations. If you don't have it and somebody slips and falls and sues you, and you haven't been following the regulations, it opens you up to damages. Whereas if you can say, we followed the safety regs, we required hard hats, then I think that counts for you when somebody sues you if they do get hurt on the job.
Massachusetts' new sexual harassment regulations, however, have caught many businesses by surprise. At a small transportation company in Boston, the general manager, who we'll call Frank, says he first heard about the law in a newspaper article shortly before it took effect.
And right away I started reading this and I'm saying, oh my God, how much is this going to cost us in money, time, and everything else? Okay, I was very, very upset. And being that our company already had a policy and a statement, I just was not happy.
Frank says he spent the better part of a day rewriting the company's policy to conform with the state-approved one. Now he says he's looking at costs of up to $7,000 to cover his time, the printing of new manuals, and sensitivity workshops for his 185 employees. Another small business owner, Karen, who asked that we not use her last name, employs 16 sales reps in a Boston suburb. She says if the state thinks it's important for her employees to attend sensitivity workshops, the state should pay for it.
I do not feel that it is my job as an employer to rehabilitate them or to reorient them. I feel like I'm being put in the position of being, how can I describe it, the great mother to right all the wrongs. And that it's just one more thing that it's very, very difficult to handle.
One of the biggest objections of business owners like Karen is the requirement that companies post the name and number of people who process complaints at the EEOC and the state anti-discrimination agency.
For me to post on the wall the procedure for an employee to sue me is, I think asking a little much. You know, I mean, to me, it's like kind of telling people how to make bombs.
Karen worries the required posting will serve only to increase the number of frivolous claims filed against the company. But to many employees, including Karen's, the new policy offers sorely needed protection. This sales rep, Eden, says the official policy makes her feel safer at work. Several years ago, at a different firm, she says she was forced to quit after she found no one there took her complaints of sexual harassment seriously.
There was a gentleman who thought it was okay to comment about the way I was dressed and about how he felt about the way I was dressed. And he would tease me about it because I had said something and made a comment that I didn't like it. And when I went to my boss, he thought it was a big joke, too.
Massachusetts policy is not the most aggressive in the nation. Maine and Connecticut, for example, both require the explicit anti-harassment policy as well as the sensitivity training for employees that's optional in Massachusetts. For many businesses, the required policy is more a protection for themselves than for employees. Some are so worried about their exposure, they're not only mandating training and handing out a new explicit policy, but they're also making employees sign forms saying they got it, in hopes of limiting their liability. In Boston, I'm Tovia Smith reporting.